All right, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday, September 6th public meeting of the Board of Garrett County Commissioners. If everyone would please rise, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you'd all please remain standing, and Pastor Rex Road will give the invocation.
Almighty God, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with. Now, as we come to this public meeting, we ask that each one that speaks, that you would have them only speak what they need to speak, that we could hear clearly what they are saying. And Lord, I ask that you would be with each of the commissioners and that you would help them to make wise and good decisions that affect our lives, whether we agree with them or not. So just lead and guide and direct and have your way this day. All this we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Nall, do we have any additions, deletions, or changes to the public meeting agenda?
No, sir, we do not.
Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any questions, concerns, or corrections with the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
And the minutes are approved by mutual consent. All right, the first item on the agenda this afternoon is a proclamation for Economic Development Week, and we have with us our esteemed Economic Development Director, Alex McCoy. Proclamation reads, whereas the Garrett County Department of Economic Development is an active member of the Maryland Economic Development Association, otherwise known as MEDA, a nonprofit organization established in 1961 whose mission is to enhance the knowledge and skills of its members and encourage partnerships and networking among those committed to bringing jobs and investment to Maryland. And whereas MEDA members promote the economic well-being of Maryland by working to improve the state's business climate and professionalism of those in the field of economic development, including other professionals with an interest in the economy of Maryland. And through its regular meetings, special programs, and projects, members address diverse issues. And whereas the economic growth and stability of the state affects all regions and jurisdictions of Maryland, and Garrett County is an important component of the state's economic success, now therefore we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, hereby proclaims the week of September 19th through the 23rd, 2016, as Economic Development Week in Garrett County, and ask all to join with us to recognize and reaffirm the importance of business development locally and statewide on this sixth day of September 2016, signed by Commissioners Heimball, Tichenel, and myself. So, Alex, if you want to come on up and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, sir.
Anything you
want to
say?
Thank you all.
I appreciated that. Say no more than you need to say.
I thought you might have said go Tar Heels. Didn't they beat Georgia this past weekend?
Oh, no, sir. We had some good barbecue.
Oh, did you? Okay. All right.
Okay. Moving on. The next item on the agenda. The Board of Commissioners is now sitting as the Board of the Garrett County Sanitary District. We have a resolution for interim funding on Western Conveyance. The general obligation note is not to exceed $9,180,000 as interim funding on the Western Conveyance. USDA is providing funding for the project, but is requiring interim financing. Bond Council solicited local and regional banks and financial institutions seeking finance for the project. Four responses were received: First United, BB&T, M&T, and Sun Trust. Scott, do you want to make any comments or add anything to anything?
No, obviously we're selecting BB&T Bank. They provide the best rate. They're doing a variable rate. We're looking at having the financing in place. I think it's up to 24 months. We don't think we're going to need it that long in term financing. USDA will take it over. They had the best rate, best fees, so that's what we're recommending.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Do we have a motion to accept the resolution?
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Any question on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries. We all three have some.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the purchasing department. Brian, do you want to go over these? You want me to go through them? This is the healthcare plan, Medicare supplement.
Feel free if you want to go through the healthcare plan. That's fine.
Scott's here.
All right. Scott, you want to give an overview of what we're doing?
Sure. I'll do that. So we're bidding out the retirees' healthcare supplemental plan, Medicare supplement plan. Right now we're in a group arrangement for our retirees over 65. What we're proposing is to move that to an individual plan where we fund retirees' HRA account. We give them X amount of dollars and they go out on the market to purchase their own health insurance. We looked at four vendors. We're choosing SelectQuote. They're like a third party that's going to administer the plan for us. They charge $450 per month per retiree. Retirees will contact this company called SelectQuote, and they'll help them through the entire process, our retirees, based on their circumstances, and they'll get them the best insurance possible. They choose what plan they want to pick, so there's choice involved. So if they want a cheaper plan, they can bank the money in their HRA account, either for other eligible medical expenses, or they can buy up whatever plan they want. So the choice is the retiree. So that's what the bid was for, and we chose SelectQuote as our vendor choice.
All right, and estimated savings on this overall is somewhere around $200,000 from what we're doing now. This is actually becoming more and more common. So,
$200,000 a year, right?
Yes, $200,000 per year. Brian, anything to add to that at all?
No, I think it's pretty much in a nutshell.
Do we have a motion to accept the bid?
So moved.
Have a second?
Second.
Question on motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Brian, the heating and cooling pump replacements, we want to reject the bids?
Yes, that is correct.
So, okay.
That's correct. Our budget amount was $75K. Unfortunately, the bids came in higher. We'd like to reject the bids and rebid it later in the year or get it next year.
Any questions on that?
Move to reject the bid.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to reject the bids and rebid later. You guys have anything else for us?
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We ought to compliment Scott and the finance people on the savings for the insurance thing, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the retirement healthcare and give kudos to the finance department for working on this and putting it together. Healthcare is probably our number one rising cost across the board, so to be able to find that kind of savings and really not jeopardize the benefit, good work, gentlemen and ladies, and thank you. Next item on the agenda is a contract for preparation of waterway improvement fund application with MES. We've been talking about this. I'm going to let Kevin sort of summarize this, and then we'll get into the business.
Yeah, this is a memorandum of understanding with MES, Maryland Environmental Services in the county, for the preparation of the Waterway Improvement Fund application for the potential dredging of Deep Creek Lake. The agreement calls for some specific criteria. One is a management of the project, dredging evaluation. The Waterway Improvement Fund grant has several specific requirements in the grant application that must be evaluated, including expansion and improvement of public boating access, improvement of boating safety, cost-benefit analysis, regulatory and environmental issues, impact of boating congestion, are some of the key ones. In addition, we've asked MES to include the environmental impact to shallow water habitat and the release of organic materials into the water, the economic impact, the lake water level impact, the recreational activity impact, and that's boating, fishing, and swimming, community support, current and historical cove depth, dredging engineering logistics, and the permitting and mitigation cost. So this application process will take approximately a year. The contract is for not to exceed $161,390. We do have money that was allocated from DNR for this. So we will, it's a reimbursement contract, and this has been vetted by the state, MES, and our legal counsel.
Questions for Kevin? All right. we need a motion to accept MES contract 2-16-3-81.
Motion to accept.
We have a motion of second.
Second.
Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. And this contract is public record now, so if anybody wants to see that.
Sure, absolutely.
Can make a request to Kevin. Next up on the agenda, Local Government Justice Reinvestment Commission. The Justice Reinvestment Act established a Local Government Justice Reinvestment Commission, which is charged with advising the Justice Reinvestment Oversight Board on matters relating to implementing the Act, making recommendations regarding certain grants to local governments, and creating performance measures to assess the effectiveness of the grants made to local governments. The commission consists of one member from each county appointed by the governing body of the county. Almost every county has either appointed their state's attorney or sheriff, and Garrett County is appointing state's attorney Lisa Thayer Welsh to represent Garrett County. That appointment has already been made and accepted.
we'll need a motion for that.
Oh,
for that point.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept State's Attorney Lisa Thayer Welsh to the Justice Reinvestment Oversight Board?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Question on motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we're cruising right along. Next on the agenda is the Garrett County Chamber of Commerce with the fiscal year 2017 tourism marketing plan. And Sarah Duck and Nicole Christian. Ladies.
All right. I have some hard copies for you folks to look at. It's just a version of what I'm going to be showing on the screen here. For anybody who isn't aware, the Garrett County Chamber of Commerce is also the tourism office for Garrett County and Deep Creek Lake, Maryland. So our goals for fiscal year 17, which began July 1st and runs through June 30th, 2017, are to sustain and increase economic impact from tourism, continue to work to create awareness in our primary markets, to increase visitation to our area, and increase accommodation sales 2% from last year's record high collections. Our target markets are Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. and we do ads to help spread awareness about our area, but we also target high household incomes in those areas who aren't as affected by economic concerns. Washington, D.C. has 7 of the top 10 counties in the country for high household incomes. Those are primarily based in Northern Virginia and also in Montgomery and Howard County in Maryland. So we do target some of our advertising to reach those specific destinations. And how we do that is we use a mix of mediums. We use print, TV, radio, online, social media, and billboard. And we also target our buys to adults 25 to 64 with a skew towards women with a household income of $75,000+. So some of the print buys that we do and that we are planning on utilizing in FY17 are some co-ops we do with the Maryland Office of Tourism. Those include Southern Living Magazine and Meredith Publications. That includes Ladies Home Journal, Family Circle, More, Better Homes and Gardens. And we also run in things like the Destination Maryland, it's the official visitor's guide for the state, and also in the Maryland Fishing Guide. New this year, we are going to do the Maryland Office of Tourism Co-op in Food Network Magazine. They fit our target demographics. 71% of their readers are women, and 75% of their subscribers make more than $75,000 a year. We're also going to run on foodnetwork.com as part of that buy. We plan to continue some television advertising. We are going to do a 6-year of NBC4 that's in Washington, D.C. We run 15-second and 30-second commercials. We run those in spring, fall, and winter on morning and evening news, the Today Show, and during prime time. And with that buy, we also get a booth at the NBC4 Health and Fitness Expo, which has 85,000 people annually attending it. And it's a great opportunity for me to hear directly from people who have seen our commercials. It was this past January, and I talked to 16 people who had seen our commercials. And I literally write them down after they talk to me, just so I have a record of who I'm talking to. And some of the comments that I got was, I saw your TV commercial, and I said I want to go there. I saw your commercial last night. Renting, I'm interested in buying. I saw your ad during the news yesterday. Yes, you're 3 hours away. I heard that in the commercial. I was just on your website looking for rentals. So it's a really good opportunity to actually hear feedback on TV commercials to see if they're working or not. We also run on WJZ TV in Baltimore, and that's important because it reaches the other half of Maryland, Baltimore, Annapolis, and the Eastern Shore. So our ads run during Entertainment Tonight, the soaps, the 12 p.m. news, and CBS primetime, and we also get online ads with that buy as well. Same as the NBC4 ones, they run in spring, fall, and winter. We also run with Comcast Cable in Pittsburgh. This buy does not include Garrett County, includes everyone but Garrett County, so you may not see it if you do have Comcast, but we run those each spring, and we're going to run them in the fall and in the winter. We typically buy on stations that do well with women 35 to 64 who have household incomes of $75,000+. And so you see some of those channels there, so we cherry pick which shows are going to run on those stations. So we buy things on House Hunters, Chopped, Flipper Flop, Property Brothers, things that do well in that demographic. And some of you may have seen some of our TV commercials that run on WTAE in Pittsburgh. We usually run those in the spring to complement our Comcast buy in the fall and winter. We usually run during Live with Kelly and Michael, Good Morning America, during primetime, and during the news. And we did hear from the owner of Carmel Cove Inn. She saw our ad before The Bachelorette this past spring, so she sent us a little comment saying that she saw it. New this year, we're also going to run on Pandora Radio. It's actually a music streaming service that skews a little older than Spotify, and 56% of their users are 30+, 52% of the listeners are female, so it fits our target demographic. And the great thing is our ads are only seen by people when they're actually using site functionality. So they're not just running when people are listening to music and not looking at the screen. Plus, we can target who we reach by gender, household income, age, etc. We're going to run those probably in Pittsburgh and Columbus, since we do a lot of radio in DC and Baltimore on NPR. This is our 5th year of running on NPR in FY17, and you can see some of the target demographics, Montgomery, Fairfax, Northern Virginia, it's all hitting those high household incomes, so people hear about us in those target markets. And 55% of the listeners make $100,000 or more. So we've heard from a couple people who have seen those, and we're also going to run with them in Baltimore. If this will go through. We also do a lot of billboard advertising. Billboards are great because you reach a lot of people, and that's part of our goal with our awareness campaign is not hearing, I've never heard of Garrett County, I've never heard of Deep Creek Lake. So the goal with our metro station ads, we run those in Washington, D.C., and we do banner ads above the escalators, and we also do floor stickers in the metro stations. So that way, if someone's looking at their phone, you're going to see that floor sticker, even whether you want to look at it or not. You're at least going to look over and say, what is that? And I actually heard from the Howard County Tourism Office. They love our ads. They've actually asked the Maryland Office of Tourism to do a co-op for the rest of the state to buy into. And they are actually doing a co-op in Philadelphia metro stations based on our metro station ads. So we usually run those, again, targeted. They're in Farragut West. They're in Northern Virginia, trying to reach as many people as possible. Uh-oh. It's just going haywire, this laptop. Product activation panel. I'm not sure. Okay. It might be a little smaller. Sorry about that. See if we can get it back. Okay. So we also do billboards on buses. DC doesn't really have a lot of billboards per se, but they do have buses, and anyone who's been to DC knows their traffic is terrible, and people always walk or they're stuck in traffic. So they're kind of stuck looking at our ads on buses. So we buy ads on 10 buses, 5 in Northern Virginia, 5 that run in Montgomery County and also in DC. And somebody posted on Facebook, actually, I just saw Deep Creek Experience bus wrap in DC advertising works. We also do a billboard in Pittsburgh. This billboard ran this past spring, and it reached about 125,000 people per week, and it ran for 8 weeks. And it was targeting people who live in Fox Chapel, which is the 7th wealthiest zip code in Pittsburgh. We're planning on doing another Pittsburgh billboard next spring, and also doing a second billboard in either Baltimore, Columbus, Winchester, Virginia, kind of with some different markets that we haven't always done a billboard before. So all of our advertising points to visitdeepcreek.com. So obviously our website needs to do really well since all of our advertising points to it. And one of our area lodging companies said, we do a lot of ads for our hot deals, which are specific discounts that area lodging companies offer on our website. And one of them said they had 45,000 hot deal views on visitdeepcreek.com in the past year, and they booked $16,000 in revenue from those hot deals. These are some of our different online ads and when they ran. The national click-through rate is about 6%, and you can see what our click-through rate is on all of our different ads. Some of the highest ones that we've had were the Columbus Dispatch. We had a 62% click-through rate. Google AdWords, we get so much traffic from Google AdWords, 58%. And also Baltimore Sun, we get a 56% and 51% click-through rate on our ads. So this is new this year, too. With social media being so popular, people spend an average of 43 minutes a day on social media. We decided to expand some of our social media advertising on Twitter, which is the 8th most popular website in the US, and Instagram, the 18th most popular website in the US. We've run a few of those ads, and these are some of the feedback that we've gotten on Instagram. Next year, instead of Ocean City, they've written on our ad, let's do a weekend trip this summer to Deep Creek, where we need to be and what we need to be doing. Put this place on the list, it's local as in Maryland. So it's kind of funny watching people literally book and decide when they want to come on our ads. Same thing with Facebook. Facebook is the number one social media website in the world and also in the United States. So we have been advertising on Facebook, I think it's been 2 or 3 years now. And these are some of the different ads that we've run: Christmas in the Village, horse-drawn sleigh rides, Swallow Falls, and Deep Creek Lake. And then you get how many people viewed it, how many people liked it, how many people shared it, how many people clicked on it. So it really gives you an opportunity to look and see how successful your ads are doing. And you can really track, so you can pick people like hiking, people like history, people who like the outdoors, so you can really kind of target what you're doing. And then these are kind of hard to read. You guys might have an easier time reading these, but these are just feedback from people who have seen our Facebook ads. We should go tubing, I'm checking into this, I'm about to look on this website, please can we go on this trip? Spring break's coming up, I can find out and see if we could go for at least a night or two. The week after Easter I'd like to go. I need a getaway, looking into this, that sort of thing. Same on this one, I think we should head to Garrett County. Sounds like a great idea to me. So many sites, OMG, Girls Weekend. Make sure we can stay at a cabin. We need to go while this promotion is going on, et cetera. And so that promotion that they were referring to is we do a stay three nights for the price of two promotion each spring and each fall. And we do specific ads for those as well. We also do a military march promotion each March in conjunction with WISP. We offer military discounts for people to come to our area every March. So these are some of our benchmarks and performance indicators. These are gross accommodation sales for the last 13, 14 years. Calendar year 2015 is up 3.1% over 2014. Calendar year 16 is up 5.7% over calendar year 15. This is fiscal year numbers. Current FY16 total, and that would be July 1st, 2015 to June 30th, 2016. It's a 1.1% increase. Now, we did have a little bit of a hiccup December and January. I don't know if anyone remembers. We did not have a lot of snow, and WISP had a pretty disastrous winter. We would have had a 2.8% increase in FY16 if we had just done what we did last year. Typically, we do higher, but if we had just done what we did last year, it would have been a 2.8% increase. But December 2015 was down $245,000. January 2015 was down $439,000. And that is in part due to WISP having half of the trail open December. They haven't had a Christmas week like that in years. So that's part of that. Current FY17 total, which is just July of this year, is up 20.7%, which is pretty unbelievable. July 2016 was up $1.6 million over July 2015 last year. So we went from $7.8 million in July to $9.4 million, which is pretty incredible. So overall, we've seen a 7.8% increase in accommodations collections from FY15 through FY16. Heads on beds, 2016 so far is up 19.3% from 2015. Sales tax collections, 2015 is a 2.5% increase, FY16 is a 1.9% increase, and FY17 is a 3.6% increase. Admissions and amusement tax collections, you can also see where WISP was impacted here. So these are every quarter. April numbers are typically higher because they include full ski season numbers. October numbers are typically higher because they include full summer figures. If you look at FY16, you'll see every number is up except for April, which would be when WISP was affected. We were only down on this $46,000. WISP was down significantly more than that, but this is just the tax on the admissions and amusements. Every lift ticket has an admissions and amusement tax collected on it. Visitor guide requests. These are our visitors' guides that we publish every year. People still do actually want printed visitor's guides, believe it or not. We do have an electronic version available, but these are a number of people who literally request a printed guide. Last year, we had a 22% increase in visitor guide requests, and through March, we had a 106% increase in calendar year 2016. These are some of our website stats. They're pretty unbelievable, actually, because 2015 visitors were up 35.2% over 2014. New visits climbed from 76% to 82%, so they're up 5.5%. And 2016 visitors are up an additional 31% over 2015. So that's, you know, that's a pretty huge increase. That's a 66% increase in 2 years. And some other things to notice, our highest visitation months for each year was July 2014. That was the highest month that we had visitors, and it was 40,000 visitors. August 2015 was our highest month in 2015. We had 53,000 visitors. And in June 2016, that's the highest month this year, we've had 84,000 visitors. And also direct visitation. They got to visit Deep Creek by either clicking on an ad or typing in Visit Deep Creek, and you can see it's grown from 17% to 50%. So that's it. I can breathe.
Excellent work.
That's pretty impressive.
It is.
Thank you.
For those of us that have been around a while, remember when we used to run tourism basically out of a phone booth down there on 219, only in the summer,
yeah.
Nothing in the winter. I mean, tremendous progress, and you seem very articulate or well-informed in terms of all the social media stuff. So.
I'm a little nervous talking in front of people, so I'm kind of feel bad.
You did
and
a fine
I had no
job.
Drink,
you
so
did
I was like, bad.
You did a great job.
But, I mean, July being up 1.6 million, that's the totality of what we were up last year. So for that to happen in 1 month is pretty phenomenal.
That's very impressive.
We're hearing, we stay in very close contact with all the lodging companies and other proprietors, and what we're hearing is that September, even before it got here, had already broken records. So we're expecting it to be a really good summer, and if you look at, you know, based on the Farmer's Almanac, Larry, I don't know, it says we're going to have a lot of snow this winter, so.
I know, Whisper's hoping so.
It must have been a really good Labor Day weekend. Yeah. I judge it by how big the line is around Lakeside Creamery.
Oh, yeah.
And it was outside and clear around the building. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It was a very good weekend. Everything was book solid. So, but, you know, we continue. What we're seeing is, obviously, there's more and more competition for visitors. And everybody gets a little more savvy about their marketing strategies. And Sarah went to the Destination Marketing Association International Conference back in August. And so, you know, always having to stay at the head of the game. What's next? What's the newest thing? How do we get in front of people? So,
well, I think I mentioned that Ocean City saw our bus ads when they were in D.C. The mayor of Ocean City and the Ocean City DMO saw our bus ads in D.C. and said, hey, how much are those? And I was like, oh, ha, 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 I'll never tell. And I just made a joke about it. Well, when I was in Ocean City for Mako, I was down there and I saw that they had ads on buses that were running in Ocean City, like for their events and everything. And I was like, oh, you got me. So... But at least I didn't see him in D.C. You can run him in Ocean City, that's fine.
But it's, you know, I think just trying to always stay on top of the numbers, it's the hardest thing to do is to measure your return on advertising. And so Sarah's really doing a great job staying on top of all the numbers. And I do want to thank Scott and
yeah.
the offices here at the county for providing us the heads on beds and information, the tax collections. The one thing, and Sarah didn't go over today, but our groups numbers are through the roof too. They are, especially weddings. So it's just up phenomenally. And in fact, Jen was talking with, I can't remember his name. He's in the land planning or the planning and development office, but we had someone who had some questions about a wedding today. So weddings, destination weddings are really taking off here. So we're seeing a lot of growth there as well.
Good.
Any questions? Yes.
On your metro escalator, is it still or is it flipped?
It's still. I'm not a huge fan of digital billboards, only because I'd rather have my message up there all the time. You know how when you see the digital ones that flip and they have like four advertisers and
let me tell you
going.
What I'm thinking.
Yeah.
The speed of the escalator down, it might be interesting, nice to see. You probably can get in, I'm guessing, in the speed and so forth, maybe 10 different images in the, on the complete trip down, and you might be able to flip, obviously not that fast.
They're not electronic.
Yeah, they're not electronic. They're just printed banners.
It's self-contained. I worked on the system 10 years.
Yeah.
They just don't offer them.
Right. They just offer printed. We actually go through their printing company. It's not something that could change. Unless, I guess, if I hired someone to literally flip some banners, I guess. That would be the only way I could see it happening. But I'm okay with it. As long as they're seeing our message and they're forced to see our message, I'm okay with it.
That was a great job. Your enthusiasm.
Oh, I thought it was your nervousness came through.
Well, I can tell you I have the fortune of sitting on the chamber board with these guys as the county rep, so I get to hear this stuff every month, and this is just scratching the surface. You guys do an excellent job.
Thank you.
You know, the proof's in the numbers. So
thank
we,
you, guys.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Nicole, I guess you're going to have to wait for basketball season, huh?
Oh, I'm ready. I can skip right over.
They lost to Southern Mississippi, didn't they?
The football
yeah,
team?
Yeah.
I don't even follow the college football team.
Okay, the next meeting of the County Commissioners is at the Pleasant Valley Community Center on Tuesday, September the 20th. We just had a great meeting in Appleton, our last meeting, exactly I think what we envisioned when we decided to take these on the road. So we hope to have a good turnout down there and be able to address some issues with those folks. At this point in time, is time for public commentary. Does anybody have anything? Yes, sir.
Me?
Yep.
Well, I can't resist it. I'd just like to say that in spite of all the nasty wind turbines that were going to kill tourism, here we are, folks.
All right. I did want to make one comment, Jim, before I go to you, and I talked to Kevin about this. As most of you are aware, probably or may have heard, we had a fire at the landfill yesterday, I guess last evening. That is still under investigation. There was a fire. It was put out. Protocol was followed. As of right now, the origin is still unknown, or the cause, I guess, is still unknown. So as more information comes out, we'll certainly make sure people are made aware of that.
If we can determine.
If we can determine, sure. Jim?
Follow up on that just a little bit. If anybody saw any of the pictures on the Oakland Fire Department's Facebook page, I mean, it was a very large fire. It was not a baby fire.
No, that's right.
It took hours to bring under control. And they mentioned something about equipment, large equipment issues and things like that. Was there any equipment affected?
No, there was not. The only thing that was damaged was a windshield. And that was it. No equipment was damaged. Yep. Yeah, that was it. No equipment was damaged or.
And the landfill was not closed for any reason.
No.
Today. It ran as usual.
Ran as usual, yes. Yeah. It took some time to spread the trash out so they could put sufficient water on it. But
what was the proximity of the fire to the entrance to the landfill? Like,
it's
office area?
Way back up in where the dump site is, if you will, yes.
If you go in, Jim, where you normally dump your residential trash, there was no indication of any kind there that there had been a fire.
No, it was up
beyond.
Yeah, it was up around where they actually landfill it. Yes.
I think you were lucky when they figured on methane coming out of there. You're damn lucky to get it out in 4 hours.
Any other questions or comments? Judy.
Hello. I was just wondering about any kind of update on the petition for the zoning change for the lake. I know that it's been a month since public comment. I hope you've got a lot of good comments about people's opinion. And depending on your answer, I might have a follow-up.
Well, it's a good question. We did get a lot of commentary. And at this point in time, there was some back and forth with MDE. They had some questions for us about that, which in turn sparked then some questions back. We have not made a decision as of yet, but it is on the radar. We have discussed it, and we hope to have an answer relatively soon.
So then my follow-up would be, one of the things that I've been concerned about, and I think I've shared with you, is the idea that should you make a decision after the regulations have come out that there may be some legal concern in terms of a preemptive change to the zoning, depending on if it conflicts with the regulations. So I was wondering if you've had a chance to investigate that any. Again, the people that I've been able to get some information from, not a lot, say that there's a very good chance that if the regulations come out and the zoning takes place afterwards, that it potentially could be deemed as preemptive. So I was just wondering if you had a chance to look into that.
We are investigating that. Nicole.
Just want to remind everyone that the 49th Annual Autumn Glory Festival is coming up very soon, October 12th through the 16th. You guys are in charge of weather, so hope you do as...
You better turn around and talk to the pastor about that.
You did a good job on it last year, but the kickoff dinner will be October 12th, and the grand feature parade is on the 15th, and hope all of you will be able to participate, and we'll have a great festival. And I've got brochures here. I think we got some to Carol already.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Excuse my voice, first of all. Got one vocal word. When is the appropriate time to bring up an issue that's local, you know, as far as a road and that type of thing? I have some notes that we wanted to review with you. I don't want to hold everybody up or, you know, something that's not, doesn't pertain to them. And when is the proper time to do that?
Generally, we schedule those things through Kevin. So if you want to speak, if you have some materials with you for us to review, you can certainly leave them. And I'll catch up with you guys here after we dismiss, and we'll make sure we get to make sure we meet what you need. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, hearing nothing. Once again, our next meeting, Tuesday, September 20th at Pleasant Valley. We thank you for coming. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
Hey, I'm going to be on a hunting trip, so I'm going to miss this year.
Okay. I guess we'll let this one slide.
Yeah. They've got for the parade, they're getting a cardboard cutout.
We're actually getting a cardboard cutout, and we're going to put it out where people
yes.
So stop.
Sarah, that was a super job.
I got an email from, Friday I got some.
You know what? That's a good thing.
Right, yeah, and I went to, give me 1 second, let me get this.
Listen, when you don't get nervous anymore.
I didn't hear it, I'm sitting here beside you.
I needed to drink really badly, and I was like.